Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
My name is Bronson, and along with Gabby, I get the privilege of sharing and being the location pastor here at Elevation Church, and so good to be here today. You may not know, but Gabby alluded to it, but I was away recently. I was over in Papua New Guinea, and I was on a missionary trip to the villages to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no, I wasn't actually over there doing that. I was over there doing a hike. I was hiking the Kokoda Trail, and 96 kilometers. There's some photos up there. 6 days, 5 nights, mud, sweat, tears, vomiting, other stuff that you don't want to hear about. It was hard. It was really tough, you know. Heat stroke, nausea, pain. I experienced it all, but I'm here to say, by the fact that I'm here today, I finished it. I completed it. And so it's just an experience that I'll never forget. I want to thank you, church, for allowing me to be away to do that with the other location pastors and men who came along. Just a great, great time of bonding together and seeing what people have gone through before us. The actual trek was a route that a number of battles occurred on in the Second World War. And men, young men, gave their lives for our freedoms, so that we could have the freedoms that we now experience here today. So it was a very humbling and sobering experience. Very long days and long nights too, because it gets dark early. And when you're camping, it's like, well, we've eaten our food. Let's go to bed, you know. So in bed by 7 o'clock at night. But just a great, great experience. And I don't know if anyone was praying for me, because the first 3 days I was sick. So I don't know what happened there. But anyway, I want to thank you so much for your thoughts and for your prayers and being with me, and I appreciate that so much. Thank you for everyone who held the fort down while I was away. Thank you so much. Let's give ourselves a clap this morning. You know, when I got back, I listened to the podcast of the previous 2 weeks, and Pastor Miles, he spoke a message 2 weeks ago talking about Gideon. Gideon's one of my favorite characters in the Bible, a guy who doesn't realize that he's more than he believes he is. And maybe today you need to remember that. You are more than you might think you are through Christ who lives inside of you. And just a prophetic word for our church. And then last week, Pastor Ross brought a message about identity and who are we? What is our identity? Where do we find our identity? Two great messages. And if you miss them, I want to encourage you, jump onto our church website. You can download them or stream them online and have a listen to them. That was so good. You know, going into hiking the Kokoda Trail, I had all these questions in the back of my mind, all these thoughts that were going through my head. And if I'm being honest with you, you know, some of those thoughts were like, have I trained enough? I thought I hadn't, but I got through it. Had I trained enough? How hard is it going to be? How long are the days going to be? Is there going to be enough food? You know, we want to have enough food so we're getting enough energy for our body. You know, what are the people going to be like who are leading the trek? Will I get injured? Am I going to be able to finish? You know, all these thoughts were going through my head, going through my mind. And life's a bit like that, isn't it? There's always all these questions, all these thoughts that are going through our minds that we are thinking, that we are asking ourselves. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're starting a new job, or you're moving interstate. Maybe you're starting high school, or you're going into university, or you're thinking of starting a family, or you're planning on going to business for yourself. And there's all these questions that you have in around these things that you want to do, all these things that come up in your mind, and you think to yourself, I hope I'm making a good career choice to leave one job and go to another job. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I hope as I go into this high school or university, I hope that I make friends. Or you might be thinking, am I too young or too old to have kids? And I'm going to say both. put it off if you can. You might be thinking to yourself, is this a house? Is this house that I'm looking to buy? Is this in the area that I really want to live? All these questions that are going on in your mind. Should I leave the safety of working for someone to go out by myself? And all these questions we ask are normal. They're a part of life. They're part of doing life and being humans and being part, and having a human nature. We ask questions. And when it comes to matters of faith, we also ask questions there. And it doesn't matter today if you believe in Jesus and have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, or you don't believe in Jesus today, here, right now, but you will have asked questions too around faith. And you've probably asked some of these questions, hard questions like, is God real? Where was God when I was being abused? Why can't we have a baby? What happened to my marriage? God, why did you allow this thing to happen in my life? Why was I laid off? How come my friends are married and I'm still alone? Why can't I seem to get ahead? Why is my child suffering? Why did the cancer come back? All these questions we may ask. We ask of God and we kind of ask out. We just put these questions out into the ether. We ask them today. And sometimes in Christian circles, there's kind of like this undercurrent. There's this thought, there's this idea that says you can't be a believer and have questions or problems. And I want to let you know today that that is a myth. That is not true. That is not right there. That is a myth. See, it's a myth to think that when you give your life to Jesus, when you entrust Him to lead and control your life, that suddenly all the problems of life are going to disappear. That suddenly they're going to go. That they're just in an instant going to be removed from your life. The fact is that your basic spiritual problem, your separation from God, yes, that has been solved. When you ask Jesus as your Lord and Savior to come into my life, Jesus, I give you my life. In that moment, the basic spiritual problem you face, separation from God, is resolved. Through Jesus Christ, you are brought into relationship back to the Father. You are accepted into His family as sons and daughters, as heirs of God's kingdom. So that problem is solved. But with that comes a whole new set of questions that we might have. A whole new set of thoughts that might come into our mind. Why do good people suffer and evil people prosper? Why does God allow suffering in the world? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? When I'm doing my best for God, why is it that the people around me are doing their worst to me? All these questions. And having questions, having problems is not the issue, though they are an issue in our life. But having those questions is not the issue. The issue is, what do we do with the questions? The problems, where do we take them? Do we take them to the pub? Do we take them to our friends? Do we go into philosophy? Do we bury them deep inside? Or do we just try to save the world all by ourselves? Well, today we're starting a new series, and that series is called Trust Issues. And it's a series looking at what we do when we have questions, doubts, or trust issues with God, our faith, and some of the things we see happening around us in the world. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I've asked myself questions as to how come certain things happen. And this series is hopefully a series that can help some of us who may be going through times like that at the moment. Maybe there's some questions you have in your life, and I hope that this series can help you at this moment right now. It's also for us who will be going through something in the future. Let me tell you, there's times of life where you will go through things, and so this series is also for you. There's a book in the Bible that asks questions like those I just spoke about, and there's a prophet in the Old Testament, and his name was Habakkuk, however you want to say it. I'm going to say Habakkuk, okay? His name was Habakkuk, and he was a prophet, and Habakkuk was different. Most prophets, they would hear something from God, and they would then deliver that message to the children of Israel. So the prophet would spend time seeking God. God would bring a message to the prophet, and he would go deliver that message to the children of Israel or to a king or to a family. This is what God is saying at the moment. But Habakkuk wasn't one of those prophets. Instead of bringing a prophecy from God, Instead, this is a conversation between this prophet and God. It's actually Habakkuk saying to God and questioning God about some of the things he sees happening. It's actually him asking God some questions. See, Habakkuk has some issues. He understands that God is good, and yet he's having a hard time reconciling that with all the evil he sees going around the world around him. He has trouble reconciling that with all the evil empires and kings and people and neighbors that he sees experiencing around him, and all the suffering that the nation of Israel is experiencing. And maybe that sounds like us today. Maybe that sounds like you today. Let's open our Bibles, if you have your Bible, to Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen behind me. And this is what he says. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. It seems that nothing really ever changes. Habakkuk is talking about that back in his time, and today you could say the exact same things. You look around the world, you see violence, you see, look at the courts, there's no justice. You see people love to fight and get angry with each other. And he asks some hard questions of God. And maybe today you've asked God some hard questions. Maybe there's been moments in your life where you've asked God, why? What's the reason? How come? Why did this happen? Maybe there's things you're going through right now, or something a loved one is going through, and you're asking God, why? Why? God, why? If you had hard questions today, I want you to know you're in good company. I'm sure the person next to you has asked some hard questions. And I've asked some hard questions in my life. I've asked some questions of God. I've asked him, why do I have this incurable bowel condition that I have that causes me such discomfort? Why did you allow the miscarriage of two of my wife's babies? Where were you when people I love suffered through abuse? Questions I've asked of God. And I'm sure you have your own questions that you've asked God, why? And Habakkuk, his name means struggle, wrestle, and it means also embrace. And a life of faith in God is both a wrestle and an embrace. And there are some things we will wrestle with as we embrace God. As we embrace God, there are going to be some things that we wrestle with in our lives. And life is full of big questions. The thing is that to question is not to sin. To have questions is not a sin. Even bad questions is not a sin. But it's the answers to the questions that can sometimes lead us astray. The answers to questions that we seek can sometimes lead us astray. And maybe you've always thought that faith and questions can't exist together. You can't do that. And I'm going to say to you today, that's not true. And the reason I say that is because as I look in the Bible, as I look at men and women in the Bible, I see that people who have been accorded as being men and women of great faith also had great questions, also asked great questions of God. You look at someone like King David. He says in the Psalms, in Psalm chapter 6, he says, "Have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak. Hear me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. I am sick at heart. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? I am worn out for sobbing all night. I flood my bed with weeping, drenching it with my tears. My vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all my enemies." You know, David is calling out to God and saying, why? God, where are you? Are you going to come and rescue me? He's asking questions of God. And yet, the Bible still says he was a man of faith, a man after God's own heart. Even if we go forward into the New Testament, we see that Jesus himself, in the greatest moment of all time, in the most important moment in all of history, Jesus asks one of the biggest questions in all of history. As he is hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of mankind, dying for my sins, dying for your sins, Jesus cries out and he asks a question, a painful question. In Matthew 27:46, at about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," whatever it is that is, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you abandoned me?" Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in this moment, he cries out and says, "Why have you abandoned me, God?" And in such an important moment, it tells us something so profound about God. We may not know why something bad has happened in our lives, but we know it is not because God doesn't care. It is not because God doesn't care. We know that God cares because he came and put himself through Jesus Christ. He came and put himself in the suffering, in the misery, in the pain, that in the worst pain that we could possibly imagine. And Philip Yancey, he says this, let me read it out. He says, "To some, the image of a pale body glimmering on a dark night whispers of defeat." And that's what you might picture, to see a man hanging dead on a cross, whispers of defeat. What good is a God who does not control his son's suffering? But another sound can be heard, the shout of a God crying out to human beings, "I love you." Love was compressed for all history in that lonely figure on the cross who said that he could call down angels at any moment on a rescue mission, but chose not to because of you. Because of us at Calvary, God accepted his own unbreakable terms of justice. Any discussion of how pain and suffering fit into God's scheme ultimately leads back to the cross. Today, if you're going through something, I want to let you know again that you are in good company. If you feel betrayed, Jesus was betrayed. If you are in pain, Jesus suffered pain. If you are confused, abandoned, wrongly accused, Jesus faced those same things as well. If you are stripped of everything, if you are broken, if you are feeling lost, so was Jesus. And it is only in Jesus do we have a Savior that loves us so much. He came, he experienced, and he carried our sorrows. He came and experienced it. And that's amazing love, but look at the amazing power that then follows. In the most terrible moment of the life of Jesus, God turns it around to be the best moment of our lives. Do you see it? The most terrible moment for God himself, he turns it around to be the most powerful moment for mankind. At the cross of agony, it becomes a symbol of hope and triumph. It becomes our moment of victory. The cross. And today in this place, maybe you don't know Jesus and you've never known what it means to surrender your life to Christ, what it means to give your life to him. You've never said, "Jesus, I give you my life." And today at the end of my message, I want to give you a chance to know Jesus. I want to give you a chance to exchange death for life, to exchange defeat for victory, to exchange sin for forgiveness, to know what it is to live a new life, to live in freedom, to live set free from your past, to live in new life in Jesus Christ. And at the end of my message, I want to give you that opportunity to know who Jesus is and to ask him into your life. And so just as God was able to do that through the cross, I believe he can do the same thing through us today if we trust him. Today, no matter where you might be, and you might find yourself in a place of questioning and asking these questions, but you can bring that pain to God. Or you can come before him and say, "God, I lay before the cross these questions, these doubts, these thoughts that I have. Jesus, I hand them over to you. Yes, they're still in the back of my mind, but I trust and I know that you are in control. I trust that, God, you are here with me, and God, I give it all to you today." The keys could come, that'd be great. See, there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. You know, Habakkuk, he has some doubting in his mind. He doubts a few things. But the doubter, like Habakkuk, he questions God and may even debate with God, but the doubter doesn't abandon God. To have doubts doesn't mean that you abandon God. But unbelief, however, is the refusal to accept what God says and to refuse His existence and His sovereignty, to refuse His control of your life. And so unbelief is an act of the will, whereas doubt is born out of a troubled mind and a broken heart. And Craig Rochelle says this, maybe in some strange way, God allows us to doubt Him sometimes. Maybe He knows that one of the ways for our faith to grow strong, maybe He knows that's one of the ways for our faith to grow stronger, one of the best ways. And at the end of chapter 1, Habakkuk has asked these questions of God, and he stands there waiting. He stands there waiting for God's response. He says that he's like a watchman standing on the gates waiting for the response of God. We see that in chapter 2. And he's wondering, how is God going to respond to his complaint, to his lament, to his questions that he has? And you need to come back next week. We're going to look at that next week. So we're not going to tell you today. You can come back next week. You're going to find out. But before we go into God's response next week, we need to pause and examine our own hearts. We need to pause and take a moment. Are we fully yielded to God and willing for Him to have His way with us and with those whom we love? And it's an easy thing for us to say yes to, and yet when we're going through the valleys, it's not so easy to say yes to God, to surrender our lives to Him. And there's nothing wrong with wrestling with the problems of life and seeking a better understanding of God's will for us, but we must beware lest we start debating God and trying to change God's mind. I don't know if you might remember back to when you were younger and you were trying to change your parents' mind, or maybe now and you've got children and they try to change your mind. Sometimes parents just won't change their mind. And so we admire Habakkuk for being an honest man and for wanting God to spare the people he loved, and we want to imitate him in his openness and sincerity. If you read that first chapter, he pours out his heart to God, like, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why am I seeing the suffering in the people around me? He pours out his heart and his sincerity and his willingness to wait for God's answer. But we also want to remember what Paul wrote to the believers in Rome, in Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has become his counselor, and who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. This scripture verse is like saying, it's like sometimes when your young child might come to you and ask you a question. You know, like Roman, sometimes he comes to me and he asks me something. And it's like, if I was to respond in a way to explain it in its full detail, he would not understand what it is that I am saying. So I just say to him, well, I say this more to my older children, just trust me. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. Just trust me. And in no way am I trying to trivialize what you or a loved one are facing. In no way am I saying that you would not understand if God was to give you an answer. But what I am saying is that you need to trust God. And what I am saying is that our questions and difficulties are meant to push us towards God, not away from God. Our questions are supposed to bring us closer to God, not take us away from God. And the writer of the book of James says it like this. He says, in James 1, chapter 1, verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. Just a minute, consider it great joy? Is this James guy okay? Has he lost the plot? Consider it great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You know, I spoke earlier about how I hiked Kokoda recently, a week ago, and it was hard. Like, it was really hard. The first day was very, very hot. It was about 30, 35 degrees, and the sun was blaring. There was no cover from the sun, and I didn't have a hat on, and I got a form of heat stroke. It wasn't a full-blown heat stroke, but I got a form of heat stroke. And that night when I got into camp, I was just feeling really, really sick. I didn't have any dinner. I threw up, threw up everywhere, and I wasn't sure, was that something I ate, but I was so sick. The next day, I woke up again, I wasn't feeling great, I was throwing up again. So day two, I was throwing up, and so it was hard, you know, and come on, everyone give me an aww. It was hard, and I ate very little. In fact, the first 4 days of the hike, I probably ate less than I would usually eat in one day, and it wasn't until the fourth night that I had my first dinner meal, and it was delicious, even though it was probably garbage, but it was delicious. But you know what was interesting was that as the days progressed, my legs started to feel less and less tired. My back started to feel less and less sore. My mind was more able to endure what it was I was going through. I was getting stronger. I was getting more able. And so as I was going through it, as I was increasing my fitness, my stamina was getting better, and I was tested and my endurance developed. Still the same amount of time hiking, up at 4, hiking by 6, might be finished hiking by 5 p.m., still the same amount of time, still the same terrain, very, very steep hills, still the same temperature, very, very hot and humid. Everything was still the same, but I was more able to handle what it was that I was going through. And there's a picture there that it's the same in our life. When difficult times come, as we are in those times and as we embrace God in those moments, as we draw close to Him, we emerge from them stronger, more able, a greater trust in God, a greater understanding that God is with me and His plan for our lives. And today I want to end my message with just a couple of quick questions that I want to ask you. I want to ask you today, what area of your life do you currently have questions or doubts, or trust issues, or concerns about? What areas of your life, maybe today, that you are asking God something? Saying, God, why is this? Do you have areas like that in life? And secondly, the question is, will you draw closer to God through these questions, or pull away from God? Will you allow yourself to say, God, I'm asking questions, and I don't know why things are happening, but I allow myself to get closer to you. I lean in more to your Holy Spirit. I gather more with your believers. I come to church. I call up people, say, hey, would you pray for me? I lean into you. Or do you pull away? And I want to encourage you, don't pull away from God at moments like that. See, as you close your eyes, it's not a matter of stopping the questions or doubts. That's not what this series is about. This series isn't about telling you not to question or to say that you will never have doubts. No, this series is a matter of what do we do with them. And so in times of doubt and problems and questions and trust issues, I just want to say to you, draw near to God. Ask your questions. And like Habakkuk, wait for God's answer.